one that's here. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's have our verse. Great job. Okay, are there any announcements this morning? Kelly?
I'm going to read our CE off for next Sunday night, Impressions of Heaven, opening song, Sweet By and by Gail Miller, opening by Jody. Impressions of Heaven by Dakota and Jana. Two songs by the school. A Deep Dive, A Biblical View of Heaven by Stan. Two songs, Men's Groups by Tony. Impressions of Heaven by Abigail and Galen. And two closing songs, Youth. Thank you. If you can't make it, let us know.
Okay, Fellowship Home singing Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. Anyone else? Okay, if not, let's remember our Bible study this evening. The lesson is on the quick alert. This morning is our layman service, so just open it up to you brethren for leading songs, introduction, any of us for our inspirations. So let's be praying for our service. Just might mention a little bit, I don't know that I have such an update, I think, on Darla and on Kathy. I think maybe there's been a few updates occasionally, but let's just keep praying for them. And I think let's reach out to them however we can. So I think we're ready to start with the song.
Let's open with 24 in the hymnal. My Savior's Love, 24. New soul, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall
yours. use the hymnal as part of my devotion because many of these hymns are spoken as the language of the soul, heart communication with God, and hence they are a blessing to us as pilgrims and strangers. And there's a song that I particularly like. I often resort hither or thither to that song. It says, there is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Particularly that thought of a place where we our Savior meet. I trust that we have asked the Lord to meet with us here, and that we have asked the Lord to prepare our hearts to receive. The song Meal at the Cross says, Christ will meet you there, come while he waits for you, implying that he is already there, that he has come to the place of prayer even ahead of us, and that he is prepared to bless. The song also says there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Isn't that a wonderful, heartwarming thought? That we can come to a place where sin cannot molest, that we can find refuge underneath his wings. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee. Notice it says wait. A.W. Tozer says that we need to pray until we pray. What does that mean? That means that the affection of fervent prayer is what God is interested in. And sometimes it takes a little while to clear our minds of the things of life and of time and of this world. So that's why he says we need to pray until we pray, until our hearts are actually in tune with God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Let's kneel. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for our time of Sunday school. We pray that you will be here in our midst today. We know that you have promised to be here and that you are here ahead of us. You are waiting for us to turn our hearts and minds heavenward. You're waiting to pour out a blessing. We pray that you will move in the hearts of the brotherhood this morning to share, to bring what they have. Lord, we thank you for the hope of the soul. We thank you for Mount Calvary, for the empty tomb, and that you're at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And again this morning, we know that you are interested in us. We just ask for a blessing. Lord, we pray for the sick and the infirm, many conditions among us, that you will be on hand to bless them and see them through these difficult days. Lord, one day receive us home. We ask it through Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that song, number 50. Number 50. Mm-hmm. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. Pathways where only our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. All us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of hope released, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you and to worship together. And I really didn't feel like I had anything. I had one little thought, and so I'm going to share it. Maybe it'll grow into more than that. I just was thinking about the power of God's Word. And then I thought about a story I read, it's been a while back. But the verse I'm thinking about is in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, the 22nd verse. And I'll just read this verse and I'll tell you some of my thoughts. It says, the verse says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." It's a simple verse, but it says a lot. There was a man born, I think he was born in 1835. His name was Charles H. Spurgeon, and I'm sure you've all heard of him. He was a very powerful preacher in the last half of the 19th century, last half of the 1800s. But he was born in 1835. He was born into a large family in England, and I think there was like 12 or 13 children, and when he turned 15, there was no room for him in the house as it was in those days, and he was not too far from the big, huge city of London, and so he went to London to find a job. And one Sunday morning, there was a huge snowstorm, and he was kind of actually about half homeless, but he was walking through London in this snowstorm, and it was a Sunday morning, and he wandered into this church, and he came into the church, and there was just a few people in there because of the snowstorm, and the pastor actually wasn't there. He couldn't make it because of the snow for some reason. And there was I don't know if it was just a lay brother or a deacon or someone was actually expounding the word. And he went in there and he sat down, and this brother this man that was preaching quoted, or he read this verse, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And through that sermon, Charles H. Spurgeon was converted. He was converted that Sunday morning by this verse, through this verse. And he became he was a Billy Graham of the late 1800s. He preached to literally millions of people in London, in Europe. He actually came back across to the U.S. and he preached here in Chicago and New York and different places, and there were many people converted. And I was just thinking of the power of one verse and how that changed the lives of probably millions of people, and how that works even today. One verse. The scripture says that the word of God is powerful, and it is very powerful, and it cutteth asunder soul and spirit, and it divides, and it speaks. And there is no end to what it can do if we allow it to. And, we pick up the word, we pick up the scripture, and I read it so casually, so often. But I really believe, like Dale was talking, if we will draw near to God and allow him to speak through his word, it can change us. It can change those around us. And it is a very powerful thing, and we should never take it for granted. And I just want to do more as far as reading the word and meditating on it and allow it to work in my life.
77, Gospel Hymns.
Unto you is born a Savior, angels sing from on high. God so loved, he has given his own Son to bleed and die. Lift him up higher, higher.
He had my turn, but I'm going to take another one. I love to talk about my father. So, just something I had for devotions here a week or so ago. Taken out of Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And then as part of verse 7 says, "Be strong and of good courage." Verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go with before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." A little story about an older man that lived in a big city, and he knew all the ways of the city, and he'd been there all his life, and he knew everything about what was going on in the city. And he was walking on the sidewalk one day, and there was a little boy standing by the curb. And he says, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he says, "I'm waiting for the bus." "Oh," he says, "the bus stop is 3 blocks down. You better hurry. It'll be there in just a little bit." "No," he says, "I'm going to wait here." The man had been around. He says, "No, you better run. You're going to miss the bus." No, he says, the little boy says, I'm just going to wait here. And he says, no, you better. It's really getting close. You better run if you're going to catch the bus. And here come the bus. And the man says, well, I guess you missed the bus. The bus pulled over and stopped right in front of that boy. And the door opened and he got on. He turned around and says, my dad's the bus driver.
Well, I wasn't going to get up here either, but the engine's just a little slow. I want to read something here out of our Sunday school book. The introduction to this book, this is not intended to be a Sunday school opening, but the introduction to this book, I usually read them, and I'm sure many of you do too. But this one in particular was very inspiring to me. And I think it's because it struck a chord in my heart, because it's very relevant to where I have been, I guess. And I'm going to read it here and then just make a few comments on it. For approximately 2 years, these particular lessons have been in the process of publication. From their inception, each lesson title with its verses and content have been assembled and built with the anticipation of holding worship services for a consecutive period of Sundays. The very nature of making these plans speaks of the anticipation of God's people have of worshiping, fellowshipping, and meeting with Him. Even if not directly involved, we have come to expect it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. A significant mark of the Christian spirit is grounded in the anticipation of what lies before us, in the daily course of life, and also in the larger sense of eternity. We live expectant of God's visitation, His intervention, and His love. Accordingly, we measure Christian living by the potential of grace, not by its absence. We anticipate what the grace of God can do for us. We do not pore over what prospective trouble lies ahead by reviewing mistakes and reliving our errors and missteps. To preview our own failure or assume another's inability to be faithful is glaring unbelief. By doing so, we are admitting the devil's triumph, not God's, and that is not at all what the Bible says about living for God. If there is even one, that is one too many Christians living under the spirits of pressure and fear. We say it is realistic to presume on some setbacks and to plan on disappointments. Truly, we have not yet attained a perfect state, but is nothing to be said for forgetting about where we came from and focusing on where we are going? Christianity is not based on what is realistic. It must be founded in the miraculous. The joy of expectant hope should continually be the background music of the church and local congregation. Like some imported delicacy, we have tasted the sweetness of victory and power over sin, and our appetites are already attuned to the prospect of more to come, can we approach this Sunday's Sunday school and worship in the same spirit of anticipation? I think why this is so impressive to me is because for so much of my life, I have been the opposite of the picture that this paints right here. It says Christianity is not based on what is realistic. It must be founded in the miraculous. Countless times through my life, I have asked myself and what others, what is realistic? With what I'm dealing with, what is realistic? Christian life is not realistic. To get a hold of our flesh is not realistic. It's miraculous. And this statement, we measure Christian living by the potential of grace, not by its absence. I have done the opposite. I have measured my Christian life for so many years by the absence and not by the potential of grace. The joy of expectant hope should continually be the background music of the church and local congregation. Do you feel that here? I think I do. I think I feel the joy of expectant hope among us. Like some imported delicacy, we have tasted the sweetness of victory and power over sin, and our appetites are already attuned to the prospect of more to come. That is, I feel I can say today that is true for me. I have tasted the sweetness of victory and power over sin, and my heart is attuned of more to come. And I appreciate the positive note this morning, what Steve brought and what Bill brought. And I just want my view of God and of the church and of Christian living to be what this writer painted here. I believe it to be true.
Crabtree guys come up and help me sing some songs, but I didn't know if now is a good time to welcome. We would love to welcome any more. I know there's more capable brethren in this congregation that we'd love to have come join us at Crabtree and Elba. We always have a need for more brethren. It doesn't matter if you're 70 years old or 18, there's a not all what we do for the prisoners. It's amazing, and I think this is what most of us would say, that we come home very inspired from those services. And if anyone would be interested, just from here, it's me that's on the committee, and Darren Reimer from Ringwood's on the committee, so you could talk to one of us. You guys want to come up?
Roll far away your load of
a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word.
Thank each one of you that took part. Thanks for helping us with our service this morning, and may the Lord bless each one of you. Just wanted to thank you all for your prayers and concern for our little granddaughter, for Jordan's this past week. Surgery went fine, and she is recuperating. She does have some things against her, as we all well know, but she's on the road to recovery. She's still in Louisville, of course, in Children's Hospital. She'll be there for several more days, so continue to uphold her and Jordan's in prayer. We'd appreciate that. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you for this service and for the inspiration that you have planted in the hearts of those that took part. We commit it all to you. We pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts through the day, that your Spirit would be present in our lives to give us guidance and direction and encouragement. Thankful for each soul present here this morning, and may you continue to protect and care for us the remainder of this day. Keep us in your care. Help us to serve you faithfully. Lead us on that path. We'll Sunday be home with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.